Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Kempire is brought to you by
Washington, D.C., the Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live tour is coming to your city on August 22nd. But before that, we're coming to Philly on July 10th at City Winery. Then we're going to Atlanta on August 5th. Then we're going to Washington, D.C. And this is going to be an all new show, all new hot topics, all new reality TV conversation, and all kinds of amazing guests and surprises. Be sure to get your tickets today. And don't forget, we're coming back to New York City on September 12th. Go get your tickets. There's also a live stream option exclusively for the New York City show. More information will be available in the description.
You're listening to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network.
It's day 17 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial, and Diddy is being reprimanded by the judge for making facial expressions towards the jury. We also have to talk a little bit about the jury because there's one particular juror that doesn't seem to have a poker face. And Cassie Ventura's friend, who took the stand yesterday, is on the stand again today. Yesterday was pretty rough for her because a lot of people are not believing her, including maybe the jury. And Tyrone Blackburn's name was brought up yet again for creating interesting content in his lawsuits. This is day 17 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial exclusively here on the Kempire channel. And don't forget, you can hear our Diddy trial updates along with additional content that we add sometimes to our Diddy updates and just on the podcast in general. Today, we literally dropped a Hot Topics episode. I talked about RHOA's ratings. I talked about Next Gen a little bit, NYC, that new show. And I talked about some other things, including Brian McKnight, the DDG and Halle Bailey situation, all in one podcast episode this morning. So be sure to check out the Kempire podcast. And while you're there, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. I also talked about how I'm able to interact with you guys on Spotify. I get it. A larger part of our audience is on Apple, but our Spotify fam have been growing too. And I've been interacting with you guys there in the comments section. I don't know how it looks, but I get a little comment platform through the app, and I'm able to respond to you guys. So be sure to check that out if you haven't already. And we got to take care of some admin stuff here, guys. Don't forget to check out our Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live tour that's coming to Philadelphia first on July 10th, okay, at City Winery. Then we'll be back at City Winery in Atlanta on August 5th. Then, right around the corner from there, we'll be back in D.C. on August 22nd at Union Stage. And finally, we'll be here in New York City on September 12th to round out the summer tour. The New York City show has an exclusive live stream option. Again, what I say in Philly, Atlanta, or D.C. won't be what I say in New York City come September 12th. All of the cities have meet and greets available as well. Go get your tickets today. Philly, you're up first. So if you've been waiting on getting your tickets, I don't know why you're waiting. Go get your tickets today. More information on the Kempire After Dark live tour will be available in the description. So let's get to our Diddy update. So if you missed it, yesterday we had a full update in regards to Bonna, a.k.a. Brianna, a.k.a. one of Cassie's best friends. Or I don't know if she would... I mean, I guess in the testimony, she refers to herself as a best friend, and Diddy's team basically were like, so if you guys are best friends, why did it take you a year to meet Diddy? There were a lot of little things in her testimony that you could see. Again, the jury is going to have to look at this situation and just be able to pin together some of what has been said in other testimony versus what she's saying. What I've noticed from the defense yesterday, Westmoreland is a tough cookie too. We were talking about Brian Steele being a tough cookie on his defense team. Westmoreland is also a tough cookie when it comes to her cross-examining some of these witnesses. But I have to say, with Brianna, it felt like, okay, they're taking away from your credibility. And one of the things that in this video I'm about to play for you that I didn't know, again, I'm picking up a lot of information from people that are in the room that are paying attention and noticing things. And they're also noticing inflections. Inflections in people's voices will give you an idea of where they're going, what they're insinuating. And reading a transcript or reading a summary is not really going to give you a lot of that. I put that out there because in one of the reports that I'm about to share with you, she insinuates that it felt like Westmoreland was insinuating that Cassie and Brianna may have been more than just friends. They really dug away at Brianna's credibility yesterday. It was like, well, you did a lot of drugs with Cassie. You said one thing to prosecutors and now you're saying another. Remember, they did that with Dawn Richard. That's their job. This is what we expect. I don't think anyone is shocked by that. However, is it landing with the jury? It might be landing with the public opinion. But I pointed this out yesterday. Here's the thing. Look, her credibility might be a little shaky because of the amount of drugs that she did. We have to remember, based off of the testimony, she talked about her and Cassie doing drugs all the time. One of the big things out of her testimony, which has been something that people have talked about but did not know that it was her, was somebody being held over a 17-story balcony was actually her, and Diddy was the person that allegedly did it. It will be interesting to see how today's testimony goes with her. I will read some of it from our friends over at Inner City Press on X. So we'll get to that in just a second. But I do want to play this clip because we've mentioned this particular juror before. If you've been watching our recaps, we've talked a little bit about this particular juror. That I'm assuming it's the same juror because we were talking about her facial expressions before.
I just stepped out of court and there is a juror in the Diddy trial that does not have a poker face, and her expressions say a lot. Things got off to a slow start this morning with prosecutors calling Frank Piazza, who's a forensic audio and video editor, to the stand. Once again saw the 2016 hotel attack video, this time frame by frame, with Frank explaining any irregularities in the videos, for example, glitches or timestamp issues. Prosecutors, this is in part a way to get that video again in front of the jury. And then in a drawn-out cross-examination, we watched the video again, frame by frame, to the point where I couldn't help but wonder, was this a strategy by the defense to desensitize a jury by showing them this video repeatedly? Shortly before the lunch break, prosecutors call Brianna Bongalon, who goes by Banna, who's a creative director and once a business partner of Cassie's. Told the court that Diddy allegedly hung her from the side of Cassie's apartment balcony that was on the 17th floor. Told the court that incident left her with night terrors, paranoia, and till this day, she still screams in her sleep. Court that she met Cassie around 2015 when the two were working for the brand Diamond Supply Company, but said that she didn't meet Diddy until a year later because she was avoiding it. She saw the way he kept calling Cassie, and she once saw Cassie with a black eye. A good chunk of her testimony was spent on the drugs that she, Cassie, and their friend group used to do. Molly, coke, marijuana, GHB, ketamine. Said that she and Cassie would hang out a lot and do drugs weekly. Stayed at Cassie's apartment. And then recall two instances where she says Diddy burst into Cassie's apartment in a rage. One of those times she says that she was sleeping on the couch and Diddy burst through the door. Brianna says she ran out to the balcony to get out of the way and act nonchalant. She says Diddy came onto the balcony screaming at her saying, "You know what you effing did." When she says he picked her up and hung her over the balcony. Says she was using her feet to push back against the ledge. And then she says as Cassie rushed over with a look of disbelief, he tossed her into the balcony furniture. In court, prosecutors showed a picture of her leg that she says she took at the time with a fat bruise. Brianna then says she went to the chiropractor and there was another picture shown in court of her back with bandages all over and her in a neck brace. It was time for the cross-examination. Things got intense. Questioning Brianna was Diddy's attorney, Nicole Westmoreland. Her voice booms into the microphone and commands the room. And she has a slight southern twang. Brianna, on the other hand, was very soft-spoken. It was difficult to hear her at times. Westmoreland walks to the podium. Diddy whispers something into her ear, and then she smiles. Very early on, Westmoreland zeroes in on the drugs. Then one by one, how did marijuana make you feel? How did coke make you feel? How did ketamine make you feel? Ever been in a K-hole? Turn to the jury and explain what a cocoa puff is, which apparently I learned is marijuana with a sprinkle of coke. Westmoreland goes, "That was one of your faves, right? one of Cassie's faves? Westmoreland then suggested it must have been difficult trying to get any work done when you guys were doing drugs on a weekly, if not daily, basis. And then she dug in deeper to Cassie and Brianna's relationship. Westmoreland was teetering on the line of suggesting that it was romantic, but she never quite went there. And the reason I started to think that was because of her wording. For example, she wanted to say that Brianna and Cassie started working together again, but she said, "You hooked back up in 2023. You got back together in 2023. And then prosecutors called a sidebar. By the way, when a sidebar is called so that we don't hear the conversations happening between the attorneys and the judge, they play a white noise machine. Westmoreland came back. She said, "You started talking with Cassie in 2023. You started working with Cassie in 2023, changing her wording and emphasizing those words. The rest of Westmoreland's questioning was from right before Cassie filed her lawsuit all the way until present day. And that's because Brianna said on the stand today that she and Cassie are still close. In fact, Cassie texted her today. Brianna says that she didn't answer. Celebrity stylist Deontay Nash also, she said, texted her today and she didn't answer. Testified that Cassie called her shortly before filing her bombshell lawsuit. And in fact, included Brianna in that lawsuit. And then Westmoreland said, "You talked to Cassie about filing a lawsuit, and then you went and got yourself some lawyers to sue Mr. Combs." To which Brianna responded, "I got a lawyer to seek justice." And then Westmoreland said, "Seeking justice is suing Mr. Combs?" And I could see a juror in the second role just smirking. And that wasn't the only time. Throughout the cross-examination, I could see this juror making facial expressions. At one point, I saw her scoff, turn to the guy next to her, raise her eyebrows, and go... Another time, she makes eye contact with a juror in front of her, presses her lips, raises her eyebrows, and moves her head up. It looked like this. I'll go more in depth into the cross-examination in another video, so please stay tuned.
And shout out to Mona. She's a journalist. I believe she's on Access Hollywood now, or wait, is it Extra? I don't remember where she is now, but I know she's no longer working for a news outlet. Well, ABC News anymore. But shout out to her. I think she's been doing a superb job. And it's so interesting because you see that there's so many people that are in the same courtroom, but certain things are standing out to them and their perception. Again, what she's saying when the insinuation that possibly that Westmoreland, Diddy's attorney, may have been insinuating that there was a deeper relationship, maybe loving relationship between Cassie and Brianna. Some people may have not picked up on that, but when you see the examples of what Mona points out, you're like, oh, I didn't think that's how she meant it, but I can see where you're going with that. And maybe the jury also did the same thing. Speaking of the jury, we're going to talk more about the jury because it was just a moment ago that I saw that the judge had reprimanded Diddy in court. So that is really interesting for his facial expressions towards the jury, which... the judge is not having that. He does not want Diddy influencing. This is why Diddy is still at Metropolitan Detention Center. They do not want him influencing anyone. And he has a history, allegedly, I'll say. The prosecution has accused him of this as their reasoning for keeping him behind bars for tampering with evidence and witnesses. He's being reprimanded. But this particular woman is raising her eyebrows, head going back. She's being very expressive. She's not keeping a poker face. I don't know the rules for that when it comes to being a juror. That's probably a question we can ask. I guess maybe there aren't rules for that. I mean, as long as they're not making statements. And some people's faces are just very expressive. I have a very expressive face. So maybe I would be that person. And if you're listening to this podcast version of this, okay, these are the moments that you need to go watch us on YouTube. So let's get into our update when it comes to what's happening on day 17 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial, because I'm jumping ahead. I'm jumping ahead in regards to that. Of course, I'll cite more sources in the description so you guys can follow Mona on TikTok, because she's been giving a really great updates when it comes to the Diddy trial. I like how she's able to give us like a story, you know what I mean? You know what I've been telling you, I've been giving you like a little bit of summary, but I'm also giving you some of what is being said specifically in court. So let's get into that, because I do want to read more of what Inner City Press is transcribing from what they're hearing when it comes to Brianna's testimony and how Tyrone Blackburn is, how does he still have his license? He was, I remember in Jay-Z's lawsuit? No. It was someone's lawsuit, because Tyrone Blackburn came up again and they pointed out that he has been reprimanded before for making salacious commentary in his lawsuits. So the fact that Brianna in court under oath is saying that her attorney at the time, Tyrone Blackburn, was doing that, basically she's saying that he lied when talking about Diddy groped her breasts. She was like, I never said that. My attorney said that. Oh, not looking good for you, Tyrone. So you remember yesterday, the judge told the jury to be there a little bit before 11 a.m. I'm assuming that was to give more time for Diddy and his attorneys to meet and review some evidence that they wanted to discuss today. All right, so let's get into the back and forth today. Again, from our friends over on X, Inner City Press. Be sure to follow them if you really want to read every single thing. And maybe you want some of the additional content that they're creating. They are independent journalists. So if you want to support them, I do encourage you guys to go support them any way that you can. Because there are some things that they're doing weekly in regards to what has been playing out in court. So let's get into their, again, for lack of a better word, this is not an official transcript. This is his notes as he's hearing it in court. So there are some errors in short form that he's using. So the judge says, bring in Miss Bogolin, then the jury. All rise. Jurors, we have lunch coming in for you. We're going to take a shorter break. Miss Westerlin, so Miss Westerlin, Diddy's attorney, says, what is this photo of? Bogolin says, drugs. You sent this photo to Cassie? Yes. Now, DX1287, what's this? Some type of drugs? How many types? I can't tell. You're still doing drugs with Cassie on May 31st of 2016, right? He says, yes. Just before this, Mr. Combs threatened your life. She says, yes. You weren't scared to continue dealing with Cassie? Bogolin says, I guess not. Westmoreland says, okay, so you said that Mr. Combs groped your breasts. Objection, AUSA says. Judge says, ask again. Mr. Tyrone said, Mr. Tyrone Blackburn. Mr. Tyrone said Mr. Combs groped your breasts, true? Some of the things he wrote were not true. Okay, was it about the groping not true? That's my question. You fired him and hired new civil lawyers and they drafted a lawsuit. You reviewed it to the best of my ability, she says. Look at this document. Only for the parties. Ma'am, isn't it true that your lawyer, Mr. Tyrone Blackburn, I don't know if she's saying Mr. Tyrone Blackburn in the court, but according to Inner City Press, he's saying, Mr. Tyrone, alleged for the first time, S.A., and although you knew it was untrue, you began repeating it. Bogolin says, can you rephrase that? Rephrase that? I guess she wants to be able to understand the question better. So look at this document, only for the parties. Ma'am, isn't it true that your lawyer, Mr. Tyrone, alleged for the first time, S.A., and although you knew it was untrue, you began repeating it? She says, can you rephrase that? Mr. Tyrone alleged that Mr. Combs S.A.'d you, right? I can't speak for him. Okay. Westmoreland says, you speak for you. You kept repeating the lie about the grabbing your breast. Can you restate it? Bogolin says. She says, okay. She must be as confused as I am because, Brianna, I'm not understanding your responses. So Westmoreland says, you continued accusing Mr. Combs of S.A. even though you thought you knew it, even though you knew it wasn't true. Bogolin says, it's really hard to commit to the whole sentence. Oh, she's a terrible witness. This is probably the worst witness so far from the prosecution, in my opinion, based off of what we're hearing secondhand. You knew S.A. was the only way you could sue. She says, I don't recall. She has to be very careful because although Brianna has immunity, she does not have immunity if she perjures herself. You continue accusing Mr. Combs of S.A.ing you, even though you knew it was not true. Bogolin says it's really hard to commit to the whole sentence. You knew S.A. was the only way you could sue. She says, I don't recall. You say that you were screaming. Are you aware of anyone else calling the police? I don't think so. You didn't go to urgent care? I didn't. You didn't tell the chiropractor what happened? She says, no. Why not? I was scared. Okay, the girlfriend, what's her name? Sarah or Friday. Huh? Full name, please.
I think this was your girlfriend?
I think Sarah Sadell. Something like that. It was a while ago.
Okay.
You got the government, she was, you, or she told, I'm guessing, again, this could be a typo. You told the government she was Friday and that she wouldn't know anything? I'm not sure. On October 4th of 2016, didn't you attend Mr. Combs's concert? I don't remember the date, but yes, I went. Just ask, Miss, judge says, just ask Miss Westmoreland. May we read the text? Proceed. Westmoreland says, you read Banna and I'll, you read Banna and I'll read Cass. Bogolin says, I don't know what I wrote. Westmoreland as Miss Ventura, Coolio, what time? Bogolin says, love ya, thank you for yesterday. You're asking Cass if Puff would like a sweatshirt 2 weeks after you alleged he held you over a balcony. Bogolin says, we were trying to be cool. Westmoreland says, repeat that. We had FaceTime call and we were trying to be cool. Again, although I don't think she's a great witness, I'm not shocked, again, when we see some of these witnesses that may have been abused, allegedly, by Sean Diddy Combs, going along to get along. Maybe because she had feelings for Cassie. I don't know. So Westmoreland says, isn't it true that you continue to see Mr. Combs and Miss Ventura because Mr. Combs did not cause you those injuries? What? She says, part of your statement is true and part I can't agree with.
Huh?
Westmoreland says, you see your phone number on this? She says, yes. This text is from October of 15th, 2016, from Mr. Combs to you. She says, yes. Mr. Combs wrote, if you're going to do K with her, at least have her back. Do you remember receiving this? She says, yes. You remember the Bad Boy reunion tour. You started on it, but didn't complete it.
Oh.
Bogolin says, maybe one or two. Westmoreland says, September 25th of 2016, the tour was at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. True? I'm not aware. Not so sure on the dates. Westmoreland says, he was on stage with Lil' Kim. I don't know. At the Harlem Salute to Achievement? Objection, AUSA says. Sidebar, the judge says.
Okay.
They have a sidebar. Combs' attorney, is this Trump International Hotel stay of Frank Black include September 26th of 2016 in-room breakfast for $231? You see? He says, yes. You agree one person can't be in two places at the same time. Hard to say.
Hard to say?
Okay. You told the jury, Brianna is really trying to make sure that she doesn't perjure herself, because if she perjures herself, she's in trouble. I don't know how much time she could be facing if she, or the consequences of her perjuring herself. Again, we're going to have to bring another attorney back. We're going to definitely bring Kirsten back. What are the penalties? Okay, Westmoreland says, you told the jurors Mr. Combs injured you in L.A. on September 26, 2016, correct? AUSA says, may we have a sidebar? Judge says, yes, you may. They have another sidebar. They're back. Mr. Combs did not cause you the injuries in the photo you provided with metadata saying September 26, 2016. Bogolin says, I can't agree with that. A person can't be in LA and New York at the same time. Bogolin says, my answer is the same. No further questions. Judge says, redirect. I wanted to see the juror's face during this testimony. She's probably rolling her eyes like, Judge says, redirect. They have a sidebar. Now they're back. There's a lot of sidebars. AUSA Smizer says, did you ever review the notes taken at your interviews? Bogolin says, no. Did you give Cassie permission to put your name in her complaint? She says, no. After she filed, I hit her up to tell her of the mistakes. Tiffany wasn't there. When you filed your lawsuit, was it a report of the balcony the same or different from Cassie's? Bogolin says, different. Is what you said today your best recollection? Bogolin says, yes. AUSA says, the demand letters of your first lawyer, did you write them? She says, no. The demand letter that said Mr. Combs squeezed your breast so hard that you had bruises. Had you said that? Boglin says, no, ma'am. AUS says, do you demonstrate with hand motions? Please do. She does. He started at my armpit. Were they on your breast? She says, yes. Okay, so now we're having a better understanding. So maybe when he lifted her up, that's when he touched her breast. And maybe Tyrone Blackburn maybe used exaggeration or inflammatory language when writing this up. But you also have to see what the AUSA has to do here. They're doing damage control in regards to what Westmoreland just did, because now she's looking like a liar. For lack of a better word to put it, and you guys let me know in the chat or in the comment section, this didn't look good for the prosecution, at least this particular witness that's also one of the victims. All right, let's continue with what else is happening in court. So AUSA says, do you yourself know the exact date of the balcony incident? She says, no. Why not? It was a while ago. Any doubt Mr. Combs held you off the balcony? No doubt. Nothing further, AUSA says. Recross, the judge asks. Westmoreland says, yes. Uh-oh. I was hoping she said no for Brianna's sake. In a follow-up interview with the government, you gave them pictures of your leg injury with metadata. True? I gave them pictures. When you sued Mr. Combs, you weren't rich. I was not. You saw this as a chance to make $10 million, true? The judge, Boglin says, the judge would review. Westmoreland says, it means a lot to you to become a millionaire, and soon, right? Westmoreland is, oof. Boglin says, no, I'm here for justice. Meaning money, she says. Nothing further. Damn, I wish I was in the courtroom for this cross-examination. She's tough. I love a good lawyer. So the judge says, thank you, Ms. Boglin. Is there an exhibit? Publish it. Combs' attorney, Shapiro, we object under Rule 106. Judge says, so after the break, jurors, there'll be food for you in there. All rise. I wonder if the food is good. But all right. So the judge says, so about these text message chains, AUS says, these are screenshots of messages between Ms. Ventura and Christina Corum. It first involved Ms. Ventura saying her phone was thrown off the balcony. Then about Ms. Boglin, the defense wants more. AUSA says they want in Ms. Corum's message that he says that didn't happen, but that's self-serving hearsay with no exception. The judge says the allegedly completing statement are not admissible. So they're going through logistics right now. I'm just reading through it to see if there's anything pertinent that we want to know. The judge says, Mr. Agnifilo, your client was looking at jurors and nodding vigorously. Vigorously. Like this? Like shaking the... Like, mm-hmm. Look, yeah, I understand why the judge is like, yeah. Not the vigorously. Was that Inner City Press? Was that the exact words that Judge Submarinian said? Your client was looking at jurors and nodding vigorously. This can't continue, or I will give a limiting instruction you won't like. Or other measures, including barring your client from the courtroom. Do you understand? Agnifilo says, yes. Well, when we get to our little summary from NBC News, apparently the sketch artists are saying that he's been doing this since the beginning of trial. And we're just catching this? Did someone bring this to the judge's attention, or did the judge notice himself? Ooh. Look. Ooh. All right. Let me see. All right. So let's get to our summary. And then I'll get back if I feel like it's relevant enough to get back to some of what is happening in the court. But okay. We'll get back to that because I want to revisit what NBC News is reporting. So a reminder to what happened yesterday from our friends over at NBC News. I think it's important because there is so much information that is coming out from the day to day when it comes to this trial. So NBC News reminds us. They said Brianna Boglin, a friend of Combs' former girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, testified yesterday about an alleged terrifying moment involving the music mogul in September of 2016. Vogelin said that she was sleeping on the couch at Ventura's 17th floor Los Angeles apartment when Combs banged on the door. She testified that she went out to the balcony to smoke marijuana, and Combs, who had gotten inside, came behind me and lifted me up and had me on the top of the rail. Combs allegedly held her for about 10 to 15 seconds, she said, and for a second, I thought I was going to fall. She said that Combs was yelling at her at the time and that she didn't know why. In another part of her testimony, Vogelin said that Combs allegedly told her something along the lines, "I am the devil and I can unalive you." She testified that Combs had taken cocaine at the time he made the comments. How does she know that? I feel like there's something missing in her story about what's... And again, and this is not making excuses for Sean Diddy Combs, but it feels like something is missing. Not to say that he wouldn't just go off the handle and just do something like that, but based off of Brianna's testimony, I feel like she might have a terrible relationship with the truth. And I hope for her that she's not proven a liar or proven that she's perjured herself. I hope not, because that's the last thing you want in a case like this. Brianna Vogelin, a friend of Cassie, will return to the witness stand today, which we just did, for more cross-examination. Afterward, a Combs accuser, who will go by the pseudonym Jane, is expected to begin multiple days of testimony. Jane, who was identified as victim 2 in the prosecution's indictment, was allegedly engaged in commercial sex acts as a result of forced fraud and coercion. Okay, so this is... Hopefully this witness is more convincing and consistent with the information than Brianna. However, to give grace, when you're a victim, when you're recollecting things from years ago, that is hard. But some of what she said just was like, oof, did not land well. At least not with me and apparently that one juror. Combs closely watched the jury in court yesterday when they first took their seats and was attentive during testimony. Much of yesterday was spent looking at security footage and cell phone videos, and he peered at the monitor before him. One of the things that I wanted to also mention, because Sonny Hostin from The View was also in court. Diddy, and I told you this, if you've been following our coverage since the beginning, and based off of people that were in the courtroom, they said that Diddy literally looked at the media outlets that were there and looked them all in the eyes. Sonny, who knows Diddy, said that he looked at her too. I love Sonny Hostin. I think she's one of those legal minds that I like hearing her perspective. They did The View podcast and she talked a little bit about her perspective on this case. She didn't say anything that we haven't been saying and what we said with Kirsten, but I enjoy hearing different perspectives. I think she agrees that it's still too soon to say anything. It's 50-50 at this particular point on how this could turn out for Sean Diddy Combs. So part of me is just, oof, I feel for his victims, because without a doubt, he has victims. Have they proven their case of RICO charges and S trafficking? That's a whole other conversation. That we're not debating that he has victims that have been abused. So I fear for how they're going to feel if he does end up walking. I mean, even if he does end up walking, he's facing a lot of legal ramifications. I don't know what the statute of limitations are for some of these victims. I already know with Cassie, I think based off our conversation with Kirsten, it might have passed when it comes to that 2016 incident. All right, so jurors entered the court and witness Brianna Vogelin returned to the stand for continued cross-examination by defense lawyer Nicole Westmoreland. With the late start this morning, the U.S. District Judge reminded jurors that the lunch break will come later than usual and will be shorter. Brianna Vogelin testified that she continues to do drugs and associate with Cassie Ventura even after when she says that she was threatened by Combs. When asked if she was scared, Vogelin responded, "I guess not." Combs' lawyers continued the same strategy as yesterday, calling into question Vogelin's memories of the alleged 2016 dangling incident. When defense attorney Nicole Westmoreland pointed out that she had previously said that Cassie Ventura witnessed the incident, Vogelin responded with, "I don't recall." Vogelin also said that she suffered from nightmares from the incident even as recently as a few days ago. Brianna Boglin said that some of the allegations made by her lawyer, her then lawyer, Tyrone Blackburn, against Combs were incorrect, including a claim that he grabbed her breasts so hard that he left bruises. Boglin said that she did not remember all the claims made by Blackburn, but told defense lawyer Nicole Westmoreland that some of them were incorrect. Boglin was asked about a lawsuit her lawyers filed claiming that she was essayed by Combs. She said that she was aware of the claim. When asked if she thought that the only way to file a lawsuit was to say that Combs had essayed her, Boglin says, "I don't recall." Combs' defense returned to a common refrain of cross-examination, reminding witnesses they kept socializing with him even after claiming they'd been victimized by the music mogul. Boglin admitted to defense lawyer Westmoreland that she shared a blunt with Combs following the alleged balcony incident. But Boglin insisted she was trying to maintain some distance with Combs. Boglin testified that she returned to Cassie Ventura's apartment within 2 weeks of Combs' allegedly dangling over a balcony edge. Ventura invited Boglin back to her place for an overnight stay of drinking, smoking, and cooking, a text message chain showed. So this is part of the reason why I'm reading the summary, because some of what we're getting in the transcript from Inner City Press don't have some of these elements. Boglin admitted that she said yes and returned to the scene of Combs' alleged assault on her. The defense cross-examination seems to either dispute or minimize the alleged dangling incident by showing Boglin did not appear worried about returning to the locale. Okay, so the defense insisted that Combs was in New York City on the day that Boglin claimed that she was dangled over a balcony in L.A. So this is giving us a better idea as to what we were just reading, because some of it can be a little confusing. So that's where the defense was getting at when they asked her, "You can't be in two places at the same time. You agree?" And she says, "I don't know about that." Combs' attorney, Westmoreland, showed a hotel receipt that appeared to show her client was at the Trump International Hotel and Tower in Manhattan between September 24th and September 29th in 2016. Again, this happened a long time ago. Could she be off a day or two? Could be. Just to play devil's advocate, not his advocate. Devil's advocate, it's the same. Diddy's attorney, I mean, he's paying good money for them. So far, so good in regards to them counteracting the prosecution's claims. Boglin claimed that she suffered injuries when Combs dangled her over the balcony of Ventura's L.A. apartment on or around September 26. And in a dramatic showdown, Westmoreland said that you came in here and lied to the jury. Isn't that true? Boglin replied, "I can't agree with you." Why not just say no? Why not just say no? She was a terrible witness. I'm sorry, Brianna. I understand it's hard to remember dates. It's hard to answer these types of questions. I can't imagine, but ooh. In regards to all of the witnesses that we've reviewed and talked about, I think she has to be the worst so far. Boglin said that she had no doubt that Combs dangled her over a balcony edge and said that she wanted to testify to seek justice. She said that although she does not remember every single detail, there are moments she will never forget. "I will never forget him holding me on that balcony," she said, telling the court that she was, quote, terrified. I mean, if that is true, I would be terrified too, and I probably would have nightmares as well. Because as I told you before, a 17th floor, 17 stories up, you're being dangled over a balcony. Cassie Ventura's friend finished her testimony in the wake of Combs' side accusing the witness of lying. The defense implied in questions that Boglin couldn't have been dangled over an L.A. balcony in 2016 because Combs was in New York City at the time. Combs' lawyer also accused Boglin of suing Combs because it was her opportunity to become a millionaire. But Boglin held firm on the stand, saying that she was telling the truth. "I care about justice." Boglin left the witness stand. All right, and then they took a recess. The judge threatened to kick Combs out of court for allegedly flashing facial expressions at the jurors. Combs was nodding and looking at the panel during recent testimony, which is, quote, absolutely unacceptable, Submarinian admonished. Submarinian asked defense lawyer Mark Agnifilo if this would happen again. "No, Your Honor, it's not going to happen again," Agnifilo replied. An animated Submarinian made admonish the defense, saying, "This cannot happen again." But wait. According to NBC News, court artist Jane Rosenberg, who had her eyes and binoculars, literally, or just you being facetious here, and binoculars on Combs for more than a month, tells NBC News that Combs had been making facial expressions at jurors since the start of the trial. Combs has been attempting to interact with various members of the jury, both affirmatively and negatively, depending on the testimony, Rosenberg said. Several NBC reporters and producers have witnessed the same. So isn't it, I mean, I guess it's not, it doesn't fall on the jury, or I don't know. That's a question again for an attorney. Does it fall on the jury if they feel like Diddy is interacting with them and he shouldn't be? Does it fall on everyone that's attending in court? It doesn't. I don't know. When you attend court, you don't have any, besides the rules of being in court, following those rules, but do you have to report to the judge or to the prosecution what Diddy's doing? I'm sure the prosecution would have said something if they noticed that he was doing it, but we have to remember how they're set up in there. They probably don't see these facial expressions. Now they're probably going to need someone paying attention to him in the court. All right. Let me read that again, because this is interesting. I did not expect this. And apparently, according to NBC sources, they're saying that he's been doing this since the beginning of trial. We're in the fourth week. So court artist Jane Rosenberg, who has had her eyes and binoculars on Combs for more than a month, tells NBC News that Combs had been making facial expressions at jurors since the start of the trial. Combs has been attempting to interact with various members of the jury, both affirmatively and negatively. That's interesting. Depending on the testimony, Rosenberg said. Several NBC reporters and producers have witnessed the same. This is a packed court. That's why they need an overflow room. Enrique Santos, an investigative analyst for the U.S. office, the U.S. Attorney's Office, was called to the witness stand. He's an expert pulling data from cell phones, tablets, and other devices with GPS technology. All right. I'm not going to get into the transcribing of his testimony. I'd much rather get into, because just because he's an expert, I think you do not want to be bored with the details of some of that. Again, this will end up being, and I've noticed when I've uploaded hour-long videos, that's when I start seeing tech issues. So I am trying to keep these under an hour, if at all possible. Maybe I'll start breaking them up. I don't want to have to do that, because I'm sure you're only coming here for a summary. If you wanted to watch hours and hours of content, you would go somewhere else. Understood. Okay. All right. So Santos only testified briefly about extracting data from cell phones, including deleted messages. In one such message from Cassie Ventura's phone, Ventura informed Combs' Enterprise chief of staff, Christina Curram, about the 2016 incident when he allegedly dangled a woman over the balcony. So this is part of why the AUSA's, the prosecution, is bringing him on to confirm, to legitimize what Brianna was not able to do in her testimony. So this expert's able to say, well, no, we have an actual record of Cassie talking about this back in 2016. Ventura implied that she didn't witness.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
The alleged attack, but seemed to believe it really happened. This is crazy, Ventura wrote, according to the text messages, admitted through Santos. I have to stay away. The text message could bolster Bogolin's testimony and help prosecutors push more of the case away from Combs personally and closer to his company and the possible act of racketeering. That is what they have to do. Because we have to remember, Bogolin was not just Cassie's friend, she was working with Cassie. And working with Cassie is working with Diddy. The government has called the witness testifying under pseudonym Jane to the stand. So we'll get into her testimony because I think that will be important. The judge said, told the jury that they will know her real name, but it will not be mentioned publicly to protect her privacy. That does not give her greater or lesser weight of any other witnesses, Submarinian told the jury. She wore a brown suit and a blouse to court. All right, so this recap might be a little bit longer than an hour just because Jane has taken the stand. And there's a lot that we need to probably unpack in regards to what Inner City Press is reporting, okay? So Jane takes the stand. Inner City Press is not describing her physical appearance because, again, she's under the pseudonym Jane. She would like to protect her identity. AUSA, where did you grow up? California. Your level of education, junior college, then modeling. With whom did you have a relationship from 2021 to 2024? Sean Combs. This is recent. AUSA says, what did you call him? Sean, baby, Ernie?
Ernie?
Oh, okay, fine. Why Ernie? Why Ernie? We did that. I was Bert. Bert and Ernie were two men. But okay, fine. When did you meet him? On a girls' trip to Miami in 2020. He was dating my friend. Wait. Okay, Jane, we listen and we don't judge. Okay, we listen. I'm saying this for those of you in the chat, those of you in the comment section. We listen and we don't judge. So she met Diddy on a girls' trip in Miami in 2020. He was dating my friend. He was really funny and nice. We went on a yacht partying. Jane says he gave me his cell phone number. Comey says, did you see drugs? Yes, the first night. One of my friends said that she wanted drugs, I guess. I don't want you to guess. Where did you go? The studio in Two Star. A man pulled out pink powder. Oh, this is where the pink powder came from. My girlfriend was upset. She thought I was getting with Sean, so we left abruptly. Oh. The next day, drinks by the pool, then movie night in the theater in his residence. He texts me, I'd like to take you out. I replied that I felt complicated. Yeah, your friend was right. Where were you living then? The East Coast. Did Mr. Combs contact you? Yes, he was flirtatious. He invited me to Miami. Read these texts, not shown in the gallery. What does he say? He says, call me Ernie. Oh, so this is when it started. Who was pursuing who? He was pursuing me. But I was being considerate of my girlfriend. But she got engaged and moved overseas. So I felt I could do this Sean thing. Had, for those of you, girl code. She's breaking all kinds of girl code, ladies. Yeah. Yes, clearly. Just because she moved overseas and she moved on doesn't mean that she wants you to be hugged up with someone that she was dating, but okay. AUSA says, had she been seeing Sean and her fiance at the same time? Oh, Jane says yes. So her friend was, okay. Diddy was seeing how many people? I don't know who Jane is, but I think there was an overlap. I don't think. There was an overlap with Young Miami, too, so... A lot of people are wondering if Young Miami's going to testify. I don't know about that. Her name has not come up at all. So then there's that. So I went to Miami in January of 2021. He got me a hotel room. Comey asked, AUSA Comey, where did you have your first date? The hotel balcony. How long did your first date last? 5 days. What did you tell him about your past? I dated someone he knew. Uh-oh. Also, my child's father didn't get along with Sean. He said that he didn't mind. How many children do you have? One. What did Sean say about his relationship? Only my friend. He said it wasn't a real relationship. Okay. He's lying, probably, but okay. What did you do? We made a lot of love. We walked on the beach. Later, we went on a proper first date, dressed up a restaurant. I was head over heels. How did you stay in contact? Text. Did you travel with him? Turks and Caicos. I was excited. I'd never been to Turks. Okay, wait a minute. Because depending on how this is playing out, we're now abroad.
Remember the S trafficking of it all. The locations. This is why they're possibly bringing up the locations. Who else went in February of 2021? Christina Curram, the chef, the butler, at one point a barber. How long did you stay? 9 days in Turks, 6 days in Bahamas. Shout out to everyone in Turks and the Bahamas. We're going to play a video not shown in the gallery, loud music. I took the video, Jane said. What do you see? The villa, the vibe. What did you tell Sean? That I was a single mother. On social media, I called myself a content creator. What was your work? Advertising brands on my social media. What did he give you? A love bracelet. He said that he'd give me money because he'd taken me many days away. I really appreciated that. How much? $10,000. See, here's the thing. Even if you're dating someone, this is like new, and I get this might be different for people. Women, you'll chime in. I don't know if I would be immediately taking money from Diddy if we just went on a date, because to me, it would just feel like I was taking advantage of you in regards to, like, I'm only with you because of your Diddy and you're giving me money. But I also understand the business side of it. You're taking me away for X amount of days, and normally I would be working. But that's my choice. I could easily say to you, I got to go to work. And then if he says, well, I'll pay you. What do you make? Then I don't know. I just feel like you're giving me $10,000. We've only known each other a couple of weeks. Okay. Comey says, what drugs have you used before? Ecstasy twice, 2014 and 2015. You used it in the Turks? Who suggested it? Sean, she says, like 10 times in the pool, he gave me a pill, said it would be more fun. I was walking down the beach with him and I fell. Jane says, I think I was screaming too. They put me in the shower. KK did. If Christina Curram does not testify, I need an attorney to explain to me how KK can be mentioned so many times and she does not end up testifying. I need to understand logistically how that could possibly work. Because I'm not saying that's impossible. Is it? But maybe it is impossible for her name to come up so many times and we go through these next few weeks and she never testifies. So she says, I think I was screaming too. They put me in the shower. KK did. Did you take another ecstasy pill? Yes, but a smaller dose. It made me feel relaxed, euphoric, sexual. It enhanced touch and sense. It made me feel more loving and flirtatious. Is ecstasy still like one of those drugs that people are apparently, because they're talking about taking this thing, like, didn't everyone get the memo that it puts holes in your brain? But okay. Did I just make that up? No. I remember them telling us that. I was like, I don't want no holes in my brain. But okay. Jane says, I think I was screaming too, blah, blah, blah. Let me move on. So she took a smaller dose. Comey, AUSA Comey says, what about coming down from ecstasy? Jane says, it was like your mind was readjusting, coming down from a high. You're just tired. See, that alone, this is why I don't take Benadryl. Okay, Kempire, this is not about you. But this is why I don't take Benadryl, because I remember one time I took it, the next day I felt so groggy. I said, I will never take Benadryl again, unless I really have to. But I never did. I haven't taken it since. That was years ago, like 20 years ago. I've digressed. Let me focus. Okay, focus. All right. What about coming down from ecstasy? She says, it was like your mind was readjusting, coming down from a high. You're just tired. In the Bahamas, did you continue taking drugs? She says, yes, ecstasy. Sean gave it to me. So he was getting people hooked, allegedly. How much did he wire you? $10,000. We started using the L word. Okay, did he wire her the money from a business account or his personal account? I mean, these are just questions I have. We started using the L word. They were just talking for like the last, I guess after you're on that X, you're like, I love you. Woo, woo, woo. He told me he was seeing multiple women. I was okay with it. Why? I liked him. Did you have the sense that you had the option of a monogamous relationship? She says, no. Until when did you continue dating Sean? Until his arrest. Oh! Wait, hold. Oh, wait a minute. So you were still in a relationship when he was arrested. All right. This is interesting. Any breaks? She said two. The second in October of 2023 for 4 months. When did you get back together? February of 2024. How public were you? It was private. Did you post about your relationship with Sean on your social media? Only once. Where did you move? From the East Coast to LA. He gave me $60,000 for a moving trip. In 2021, February to May, how often did you see him? Every other week. So she was like the new Cassie, basically. All right. As I said before, for those that are just joining us, don't forget to like this video. Don't forget to share this video. Don't forget to subscribe. It is a subscribers only live chat. And don't forget the Kempire After Dark, the villain era. Summer tour is coming to Philadelphia on July 10th. Then I'll be in Atlanta on August 5th. Then I'll be in DC on August 22nd. And then I will be in New York City on September 12th. All shows have meet and greets available except the New York City show has a meet and greet, but also live stream option. So if you would like to see the show and you're not coming to the show, but you still want to be a part, you can get a live stream for the New York City show. All ticket information will be available in the description. Go get your tickets today. Another sidebar, not related to Diddy, I did get to see the seating chart for the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion, which is filming today. Maybe I'll go live later so we could talk and react to it because Porsha and Shamia are sitting next to Andy, but Britt Edie is nowhere to be found. They spent 6 episodes talking about this stuff and neither one of them are there? Okay, fine. We'll talk about this elsewhere. For those that are new here, we don't just talk about Diddy. We talk about everything in pop culture and talk about reality television. Again, don't forget to like the video and don't forget to subscribe to the Kempire podcast so you can hear audio of our live recaps, our special episodes, our Diddy updates, and more. And as always, please excuse the lack of editing when it comes to these videos or the choppiness of some of these videos. I'm trying to cut these down as much as possible, but there might be pauses. There might be moments where I'm like, there's reading and there's a pause. You will bear with me, right? Right. Thanks. All right. So let's get back to this. And again, shout out to our friends over at Inner City Press for at least getting us an idea of what is being said in the courtroom. So back to this. I'm going to reread this. Did you post about your relationship with Sean on social media? Only once. Where did you move? From the East Coast to LA. He gave me $6,000 for a moving trip. I think I would need more than $6,000 for a moving trip. Right? You too, right? No. In 2021, February to May, how often did you see him? Every other week. Comey then says, what did he give you? He was sweet. He would give me money here and there. Cash, wires, both. Again, they have to prove that maybe some of those wires were from his businesses. How often did you use drugs? Every time I saw Sean. So when she wasn't hanging out with him, she wasn't doing that. She says, every time I saw Sean, ecstasy, Molly, cocaine, K, or ketamine. Molly enhanced like ecstasy, sexual. Jane says, horny, cocaine, it made me feel alert. I didn't like K, the walls were closing in. See, I don't need any mind altering anything. Please and thank you. How often did you use drugs? She said every time she saw Sean. Let me scroll down. Okay, where were you having sex? She says, hold on. In what context did Sean give you drugs? When we were having sex, she says. What did you learn? So many things. How he liked to have pornography playing. Sidebar, I just saw a video. I think it was on It's On Site's Instagram, where they have an old clip of Reverend Run speaking with Diddy. And he talks about not wanting to settle down. He doesn't think he can settle down because he's a freak. And everyone in the comments was like, see, Diddy has been telling us he's a freak for a long time. But this case is not about Diddy's freakiness. This is about him utilizing his businesses for ill-gotten gain and forcing people to do things against their will, allegedly. It has not been convicted. All right. So Jane says he liked me in lingerie and with high heel high-end stripper shoes, which was discovered, if you've been following this case since the beginning, we got to see photographs from the Homeland Security raid, which we found in his closet. The thing is, if anyone had just went into his closet and saw that stuff, they were like, are you wearing these? Because he had like lingerie in there. He had high heels. He had all these kinds of paraphernalia for these freak-offs, including many bottles of Astroglide and baby oil. I know we have not said it at all in the last couple of weeks. Well, last week or two, we haven't, have we? Definitely not this week. So this was my first time bringing it up. And that's my fault. I apologize. All right. So he said he liked me in lingerie and with high-end stripper shoes. I was to put baby oil all over my body and his. What type? Oh, see, that's not my fault. She brought it up. What type of rooms in his bedroom? How was it lit? We'd have red lights on. How did you feel? I love them. Oh, okay. Remember, she was with him up until he got arrested. May of 2021, what happened? I remember that when we would watch pornography, we would have a lot more fantasy conversation, voice cracks. Do you need a break, Jane? No. We would search things on these websites. He wanted me to fantasize. Oh. In May of 2025, was there objection? On May of 2021. Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. Where were you watching pornography? Mia. Maybe Miami? I think maybe because Jane says Mia. I'm thinking Miami. MIA. She says, I had been awake for 15 hours or 24. Oh, what drugs? Ecstasy and Molly. He said, I can make it happen. Hmm? Why did you say okay? Hmm. All right, I'm just making sure I didn't miss anything here, guys. I thought I was playing into the fantasy, but when I came out of the bathroom, he was staring into his phone, really serious. He said, it can happen tonight. How did you react? I was like, tonight, then okay. So I'm guessing when they were looking on these websites, again, we have to remember Inner City Press is trying to transcribe all of this stuff and get it out to us as this is happening. So there might be some things lost in translation, which is why we're going back to read the summaries. Okay. So why did you say okay? She says, I thought I was playing into the fantasy, but when I came out of the bathroom, he was staring into his phone really serious. He said, it can happen tonight. How did you react? I was like, tonight? Then, okay. She says, then we were in a hotel. I saw the assistant setting up the room. The lights were already red. Do you remember which assistants? Jane says, I don't. He said, there's someone coming. He knows the guy. I was super nervous listening in. So, wait a minute. Because remember, a lot of this was put on Cassie to make these arrangements, to make it seem as if she wanted to do this. She made all of these appointments. But I believe, don't quote me on this, Cassie did say that sometimes Diddy would make these arrangements himself. It seems as if he did here, or at least had one of his assistants do it. But if he had one of his assistants do it, then it goes back to creating this picture of an enterprise, the RICO charges that he's facing. Okay. Jane says, then there was a hotel. I saw the assistant setting up the room. The lights were already red. He's not going to get away from these devil accusations. Who do you think this guy was? The fantasy guy, Jane said. What do you think would start happening? Sexual things between me and the fantasy guy. He arrives and they are talking. It was a regular hotel room or a suite? She says a suite. What did you do? I said hello to everyone. I saw Don. Who is Don? One of the entertainers. Published the photo, AUSA published the photo to the jury, not shown in the gallery, no personal information on it. Presumably, Jules was shown and the bookseller. Okay. The bookseller, I think he's referring to the Punisher, maybe? That's what he's referring to? Okay, Comey says, what next? Jane says, I was on the couch with my robe on. My legs were crossed. I was nervous. What happened next? Sean said to stand up. I did and started to dance to get my nerve up. What was Don wearing? His underwear. What was Sean doing? Touching himself. Was he if he's touching himself, they use that word, okay? Jane says, yes. Was he talking? What was he saying? Being encouraging and sweet. I was ready to speed things up a bit. What do you mean? Get it done. She starts to sob, according to Inner City. Okay, so I'm waiting for Inner City Press to refresh in regards to the transcript. So I just want to go to the summary really quickly in regards to what Jane is saying. All right, so they report that she's been called to the stand. The government has called a witness testifying under the pseudonym Jane to the stand. The judge told the jury that they will know her real name, but it will not be mentioned publicly to protect her privacy. Okay. When Jane first met and flirted with Combs, they came up with code names for each other. So they're referring to it as code names, not just lovingly names. We exchanged numbers, she said, and that's when we said that we should have a nickname. He said Bert and I said Ernie. A text message exchange between the two was later introduced where they said, hi, Bert. Hi, Ernie. Bert and Ernie are, of course, best friends from Sesame Street. Best friends. Sorry. All right. Jane testified that Combs gave a pink powdery substance to a group of girls during a Miami trip in 2020. One of the girls requested drugs and somebody brought the drugs. Jane said that she then walked with Combs to a studio where they encountered another man and saw the drugs. Jane said that she asked if the drugs were safe. And I remember both of them looking at me like, just gave me this look like, yeah, this is the best. Jane said that Combs took the pink powder back to the pool and gave it to the girls. Mm-mm-mm. The witness recalled a 5-day first date with Combs in Miami in early 2021 as she fell, quote, head over heels for the music mogul. Lots of love, made love. It was just amazing, she said Jane. I remember it was like morning time and we just decided to go for a walk on the beach. Sidebar. Because she literally dated him up until he was arrested. The defense has already told who these witnesses are. We are being told who these witnesses are or pseudonyms of these witnesses. They're unsealing this information to the public little by little. I'm wondering what Diddy thought when her name came across the defense desk that she was testifying. I wonder what he was thinking or feeling during that moment. Or does he have any feelings? Because this type of behavior comes from an individual that's questionable. Jane testified to using drugs with Combs while on a trip to Turks and Caicos in February of 2021. It was their first trip together in celebration on her birthday. We were at the pool and he said, here, take this. And I took the whole pill. I was walking down the beach with him and it just hit me and I fell to the sand, she testified. My body was just convulsing and I was screaming. I said, help me. Oh, because remember Q from day 26 took a pill that he thought that he received from Don Richard, but he thought it was ecstasy. He later said that it was allegedly a horse tranquilizer. I wonder if it really wasn't an ecstasy pill. Or maybe it's some sort of something else. It's not ecstasy, something else. She said that Combs took her back to the shower to calm her down. I started to subside after that. We were taking it every day and I would take small doses, Sean decided. Lord have mercy. She said that he gave her ecstasy. It made me feel relaxed, euphoric, sexual, even more loving. It lasted about 12 hours. After the 12 hours, I would say we would take something to relax or go to bed, Jane testified. Jane said, I want to look at these people's brains. Like, what is your brain after taking you? But I think it was in Cassie's lawsuit where she talked about how this years of drug use affected her brain. I can't remember everything. Again, we're covering a lot of details for the last year or so, almost 2 years. All right. So let me see what this other update is. So Jane said that she did drugs, including ecstasy, cocaine, and ketamine every time she saw Combs in February and May of 2021. The witness said that she enjoyed her sex life with Combs in 12 or 24 long hour romps that often included baby oil.
Oh, gosh.
Combs kept huge supplies of baby oil, authorities said, which was used in his alleged SA of victims. But at this point in their relationship, Jane said that she was engaged in consensual sex with Combs. The witness began tearing up when she said that she recalled Combs first arranging for her to have sex with another man. He said, "We can make it happen tonight." And I said, "Tonight?" I was taken aback, but I said, "Okay," she said of the May 2021 encounter. When asked about the prosecution, if she thought that she was going to have sex that night with another man, or if she wanted to have sex with someone other than Combs, Jane responded, "No and no." We went to a hotel room a couple of hours later. I saw assistants setting up the room, getting his room ready. There was a bustle getting this room ready. Prosecutors said that Combs operated a criminal enterprise to, in part, have these freak-offs when he wanted. So those are important elements. He's having his assistants set up a room for something that he seems to have been doing for many, many years. That's the part we have to make sure that we're focusing on. Let me see what Inner City Press is now letting us know. Let's see. All right. Yes, we have some more. Okay. So AUSA Comey says, "What did you ask for?" Jane says, "A condom." "What did Sean say?" "That these guys get tested at the time." So you saying you don't want her to protect herself? She says, "These guys get tested at the time." AUSA says, "Later, did Don leave?" Jane says, "Yes. Then Sean and I made love. The next day I went home." "Any boat trip?" "A nice yacht day." "How did you feel?" "I felt exhilarated. It was taboo. I had a good time with my partner." "Did you think that you'd do it again?" "No, or maybe a few times. Something taboo." "How did things change?" "It opened Pandora's box." Ugh. Because you remember, if we look at Cassie's testimony, similar, that's how it started. I believe Cassie said they were dating a pretty good amount of time before he even introduced this idea of freak-offs. I don't remember if it was like a year into them dating, but I do recall there was some period, there wasn't like immediate introduced into the relationship. And I'm sure after Cassie left, he was looking for his next person. I'm sure he had other women that he was doing this with, but I'm sure he wanted to add to his harem of women. All right, so she says, the AUSA says, "How did you feel?" "I felt exhilarated. It was taboo. I had a good time with my partner." "Did you think that you'd do it again?" She said, "No, or maybe a few times. Something taboo." "How did things change?" She says, "It opened Pandora's box." Jane says, "There was so much of it afterwards. Too much of it." Comey says, "How often?" "All the time. I went along." "Later, did you tell him you did not want it?" She says, "Yes." "In writing or verbally?" "Both. Many times." Wow. So they're building their case. AUS Comey says, "What did Sean tell you about your rent when you said that you did not want to have sex with other men?" Okay, now we're talking about, all right, you see what they're setting up here. "What did Sean tell you about your rent when you said that you did not want to have sex with other men?" She says that he gave me maybe 3 more months. "How did you feel?" "Frustrated. Obligated." AUS says, "Obligated to do what?" Defense says, "Objection. Sidebar." They take a sidebar. I'm keeping my fourth wall in. I had to pause this live recording because there was a lot of breaking news related to Real Housewives of Atlanta. Kenya Moore issued a statement in regards to not being part of the reunion. Britt Eady is not at the reunion. She skipped the reunion, apparently. I might have to do a separate live later this evening, but stay tuned. I'm going to get back into this because Jane is testifying. Victim number 2, I believe. Yes, victim number 2. So, Inner City Press reports this. He said, Jane says, "I was always put together." Okay, let me go back. In regards to how often they would have these freak-offs, or no, AUSA says, "How often did you see Diddy?" Jane says, "Often. Every time you'd see him, did you have hotel nights?" She says, "Yes. Even though we'd spend a day or two together after, it all felt like a hotel night." Oh. "Who decided when?" "Sean, on short notice. I always had childcare ready." Oh my gosh. Jane says, "I was always..." Why am I surprised? Because this is literally what Cassie said, but Cassie didn't have a child. Jane says, "I was always put together." "What do you mean?" "My hair, my nails, my tan. He wanted me beautiful." Cassie. Cassie said these things. Did you go out with friends? She says, not after a trip in summer of 2022. He was dismissive. In the summer of 2021, she says, okay, so I'm not sure if Inner City Press got this wrong or if this is actually what played out. Not after a trip in summer of 2022. He was dismissive, she said. AUSA says, in the summer of 2021, she says, to France. Jane says, I went to the south of France with my friends. He was angry in the voice notes. Comey says, who did he want you to look? He says, I guess maybe they said, how did he want you to look? Jane says, straight hair, ponytail, when we had sex. He wanted me to pierce? Where? Oh, she says, her nipples. She says, my nipples. We'll talk about that, AUSA says. Between 2021 and the break in 2023, how much money did you make and how? Jane says, social media posts. But that went down because my presence went down. I was focused on Sean. He would give me money here and there. How much at one time? $20,000. Did you tell him you wanted to make your own money? Jane says, when OnlyFans got big, I told him I wanted to do it like one of my model friends. He gave me this hesitant energy like, no. What is OnlyFans? She says, subscribe to models. She would do things without any clothes. But no sex acts? The AUSA says, she says, right, but he didn't approve. Why did you feel you needed his approval? I felt that he was my boyfriend. So AUSA says, sealed exhibit. What is this? Jane says, my lease, April 4th of 2023. Comey then asks, how much was the rent each month? $10,000 for rent? Oh, damn. Sean said, let's do a love contract. It was a flirty thing. He asked, how much allowance did I want going forward? I said, 15. He said, 10,000? AUSA asked. Yes, I wanted a beautiful home for balance. But hold on. If your rent was 10,000 and you asked for 5,000, he said 10,000? Not, Diddy been cheap for forever. I don't know why I'm shocked, but damn. She says, I wanted a beautiful home for balance. She then said, AUSA says, what's this? A wire transfer to pay your rent? Yes. Who got you plane tickets to fly to the hotel night? His travel agent, Jess, or KK, his chief of staff? Comey then says, what were the hotel suites like? Red lights, sheets everywhere for excessive use of baby oil. Oh, God. How many bottles? Objection. Judge says sustained. Per hotel night, 24 bottles or more. Why so much baby oil? I hope we get to the bottom of that. Not the bottom of baby oil, but the bottom of why so much baby oil. Comey then says, this night exhibit not shown to gallery. Where was the hotel night? In my apartment. What did you wear during these hotel nights? Lingerie, high stripper shoes. What would you and other man do first? Objection. Rephrase.
Okay.
Who would you greet? The entertainer. I was on drugs. Sean told me to touch myself, then sex. Comey then says, forgive me for asking, but oral or intercourse? She says, oral. Later, I would be with Sean. Would you clean up I have to get magical with our words here. Who would clean up the finalization of the strippers or the S workers release? There we go. Release. All right. Got to get creative. All right. So they said, I already lost my place in here. Would you clean up the release? She says, no. Oh, God, you left this for the assistants? Comey says, how long were the hotel nights? Jane says, 20 or 30 hours. Wow. AUSA says, we could break here. Judge says, jurors, we may start staying later. Uh-oh. Do not speak with each other about the case. All rise. I'm gone. So the jurors are gone. We're not going to continue here. Let me get to the updates that we got from NBC News, okay? For those that are just joining us, we are giving you your day 17 of the Diddy trial. We're covering it. It's our first case that we've covered day to day. But it feels like we have to. This is not a story that we've been following. Diddy has been a part of our lives for the last 30 years. So this is important for us to talk about and cover. We are also covering this on the Kempire podcast. Subscribe today to that. Shout out to our new Spotify fam that's growing and literally was just responding to a comment where people are saying, I'm so glad that you're on Spotify. We were on Spotify. We were also on Apple. We also have a Club Kempire podcast subscription. That's a paid subscription on Apple. You can access that via the app or via their website if you don't have an iPhone, okay, or Apple device. So let's get into what our little summary is, because like I said, I feel like it gives us context to what we were just reading. So we went through that part. So Jane said that she did drugs, including ecstasy, cocaine, and ketamine every time she saw Combs in February and May of 2021. All right. She says that Combs kept huge supplies of baby oil, authorities said, which was used in his alleged sexual abuse of victims. All right. We already knew about that. So the witness began tearing up when she said that she recalled Combs first arranging for her to have sex with another man. We went through this as well. So I just want to make sure that we're not missing anything in our summary. Jane testified that the first time that she had sex with another man as Combs watched in May of 2021 opened up Pandora's box in their relationship. In a quote, just completely set the tone for our relationship going forward, she said. I felt like it was a door I wanted to shut. She said that Diddy immediately began requesting more of the freak-offs. What's happening here and why her testimony is important is because she's literally mirroring what Cassie said in her own lawsuit and what Cassie testified on the stand. I'm interested to see the cross-examination and the approach that they will take with her, because I think they were very particular with how they spoke with Cassie because she was a pregnant woman on the stand. She's also a victim. So they were very conscious of that. But it will be interesting because this particular person, I believe, is not pregnant, how they're going to handle this. Because they literally said that you were with Sean Diddy Combs up until he was recently arrested. We've talked about cycles of abuse. I'm just saying what the defense is going to say. All right. So she said that Diddy immediately began requesting more of the freak-offs. Asked what percentage of the time she had sex with another man while in relationship with Combs, she responded, 90%. She said that she repeatedly told Combs that she did not want to have sex with other men, but would eventually relent. I was agreeable because I wanted him to be happy, turn him on, and satisfy my partner, she told the court. She also believed that she was the only person that he was doing this with. She thought that he was her boyfriend. The witness said that she had no choice but to keep having sex with other men for Combs' enjoyment because he was paying my rent. Something similar to what Cassie said. Jane, a single mother, made it clear that if she didn't agree to these sexual demands, their relationship would be over and she'd have to find somewhere else to live because she probably couldn't afford it. And these freak-offs were taking hours out of her day. So how could a Cassie, how could a Jane have a career outside of this? How could Cassie put together an album and release an album when she's spending most of her time doing this? Or recovering from one of these, or recovering from the drug use? It makes me wonder, and again, I'm speculating here, again, because we're legal reasons. I'm wondering that did he get these people into drugs in order to control them as well? Besides it just being addictive, that he had his own addiction. So she says that she had to, if she didn't continue doing what he wanted, that he would stop paying her rent and she would have nowhere to live. She said, I felt an obligation because I knew he was paying my rent. The sex acts were also called debauchery or hotel nights. He gave them some new names. So literally were called debauchery or hotel nights. And remember in the documentary, the HBO Max documentary, the assistant knew them as, what was it, Wild King Nights? God. So Jane said the hotel nights with Combs and other men would last between 24 and 30 hours with no sleep. Witnesses gave very graphic detailed testimony about, the witness gave very graphic and detailed testimony about her exact role in these hour-long sex sessions and direction that she received from Combs. So we're going to wrap this up here. Again, if I have additional content or context that I want to add, I will probably add it to the podcast to kind of keep everything on a day-to-day basis. However, I'm always going to remind you and refresh your memory on anything that might be relevant or related or adds context to day 18 or day 30, whatever it may be. So this is day 17 of our coverage of the Sean Diddy Combs trial. As always, guys, don't forget to like this video. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to turn on your notifications. If you're not getting notifications, turn them off, then turn them on. Sometimes you have to unsubscribe to subscribe again. Apologies, I have no control over the algorithm that is YouTube. But you can always rely on podcasts. Podcasts, for me, I've never had an issue with notifications for the podcast. So subscribe today. Head on over to the Kempire Podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And that's where, again, I'm adding additional content. But we don't just talk about Diddy over here. We talk about everything in pop culture. Today, we dropped a special episode giving you some hot topics from Brian McKnight to DDG and Halle Bailey to talking about Real Housewives of Atlanta. And you never know, if I have time, I will definitely be dropping some more over the weekend. Tomorrow, your Diddy update will be late. I will be taking the day, during the day, to meditate, relax. I will be on a retreat, okay? So your Diddy update will be late. I can't promise that it will even come out tomorrow. It might come out Saturday. Sorry, okay? We'll see how much, because after a retreat, I might be like, ooh, don't care about Diddy, don't care about updating anybody on anything. And also, thank you for listening to our podcast, fam.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. As always, you can hear Kempire on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. More information can be found on KempireRadio.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.